yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Jackson, Michigan, and at age 9, she became the full-time pianist and choir director in her dad's church. She earned her BA degree in music from Spring Arbor University. She is a Christian Music Hall of Fame inductee and a 2-time Dove Award winner and the founder of an online radio station. The author of 9 books, her latest being Fully Qualified. Her name, Babby Mason. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Babby Mason. She's in the Christian Music Hall of Fame inductee and also a 2-time Dove Award winner and a fabulous breath of fresh air. Babby, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's good to be with you today, my friend.
Can we start this evening by you offering an opening prayer?
Yes, I would be glad to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. Thank you for my friend Jack and for the community of friends that he brings with him. And for all of those who are watching or listening, God, I pray a special blessing over all of them. Thank you for your presence, how you love us, how you lead us, how you give us hope, not only for today, but hope for the future. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We love you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Babby. Let's go back to Jackson, Michigan. Talk about growing up in Jackson and your mom and your dad, please.
Oh, I would love to do that. That's probably one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I was born and raised in Jackson, Michigan, which is about 70 miles west of Detroit. And so I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up loving the Tigers, the Lions. I am from a Midwestern town of hardworking, you know, people. My parents, who I admire, they're both passed on. But my mom and my dad are first generation Midwesterners. They came from the South. My dad was born in Alabama. My mother was born in Mississippi. And they were part of a huge migration of African Americans that came from the South during the mid to late 40s. That great migration of African Americans who came from the South looking for work. And my parents settled in Southern Michigan. And my dad was a pastor. He founded the Lilly Missionary Baptist Church in Jackson, Michigan. And my parents were pioneers. And my mother was a wonderful homemaker and a beautiful mother and wife and pastor's wife. And my father started this church from a basement, in a basement building, and it grew to be a beautiful, and it's still existing today, even though my father has passed. The church is almost 70 years old. It has a wonderful, it's just a wonderful light and a beacon of hope for Jackson. And it was there in my daddy's church that I fell in love with gospel music, you know, like a lot of singers from, you know, generations that I admire, like Aretha and Gladys, you know, and those singers that are recognized by their first name. You know, they're just that part of our culture. But their roots are in the church. Their roots are in great gospel music. And my story is very similar to that. And I grew up playing the piano. I started studying music when I was just 6 years of age. My mom and my dad saw this propensity towards music, and they got me a wonderful piano teacher. He was very strict. His name was Mr. Gustav Strelo. He was straight from Germany. He could barely speak English, but he taught me the classical composers, Bach and Brahms and Beethoven and Mendelssohn and Mozart. But those classical composers didn't help me out a whole lot because my daddy's Black Baptist Church didn't sing classical music. We sang gospel music. And so I had to learn very quickly how to play by ear. But it's kind of like being ambidextrous or being bilingual. I had the opportunity to learn how to read music and also how to play music by ear. So that has served me, that ability to do both, to play by ear as well as play by music, has given me a great opportunity to navigate, you know, my career and to write songs and to sing. And for, you know, more than three decades, I'm still singing and writing and traveling and speaking and running radio and teaching at the college level and just enjoying a really blessed life.
At age nine, you're leading the choir for your dad's church. What did he pay you? What did he pay you?
Do you know, Jack, at age nine, you know, I, like I said a moment ago, my daddy's church, they didn't read music. They were hardworking people. No, there were not professional musicians in my daddy's church, but my daddy saw some potential in me. And he heard me playing, you know, little nursery rhymes and, you know, my best ability to try to pick out church songs at, on our piano at our house there in Jackson. And my father saw a possibility, and our church piano player had moved away after another job in another city. And my father looked at me one morning as a nine-year-old girl. I was still in my patent leather shoes and bobby socks. And Dad said, "Babby, today you're going to play." And I was just a little girl of 9 years of age, and I could only play in one key. But the what I remember most about my father's church and the people in my father's church is they were very nurturing. And they gave me a lot of liberty, and they created a place for me to grow. And I grew into that position. And when I first started playing, I could only play in one key, and that was the key of C. And sometimes the key of C was too high. Sometimes the key of C was too low. Sometimes the key of C was too bad. They had to sing all those songs in the key of C. But there was a lot of grace in that space. And I grew to learn how to play in other keys. And then I became the choir director, and then I was responsible for the whole music department and all the worship services and planning all the music, and did that for almost 20 years before I got married and moved to Georgia.
Talking to Babby Mason. When we come back, we're going to ask her about the chapter in her life where she was a middle school music teacher. And I'm Jack Krasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasulin. We're with Babby Mason. Babby, from 77 to 85, you were a middle school music teacher. Talk about that chapter of your life.
Well, it was always my dream, Jack, to be a Motown singer. I grew up in the shadow of Detroit. And, you know, I saw these wonderful singers like the Supremes and Aretha and Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. And I would see them on, you know, Dick Clark, American Bandstand, or Soul Train, or on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I would say, man, that's what I want to be. But my dream was still in the process, and so I figured, you know, I better get a teaching degree so I can have something, quote, to fall back on. And so I went to the community college there in Jackson and began my education, my upper education there at Jackson Community College, got an associate's degree. And it was my dream to go on to the University of Michigan to complete my degree because it was closer to Detroit. But I didn't have the money to go to the University of Michigan. And so there is a wonderful Christian college not too far from Jackson. My father graduated from Spring Arbor. My brother went to Spring Arbor. And so I just picked up the phone one day, just out of the blue, Jack, and I called the music department and asked them if they had any scholarships to offer. And they said, come on out and audition. And I was intimidated. I was shy and just, you know, kind of maybe a little embarrassed because, you know, I just didn't know what to expect. But I auditioned for a scholarship and was blessed in getting some wonderful support there from the school. And, you know, the Lord just began to open up doors for me and give me opportunities. One of the main things that happened that year in 1976, when I transferred to Spring Arbor University, it was Spring Arbor College back then. That year, the college had launched a singing group of eight members and a small band and singers. And I auditioned for that group and got a place in that small group, and we began to travel around the Midwest and began to sing in churches, and I began to spread my wings as a singer and a songwriter and gain more confidence on stage. And that really became a launching pad for the ministry and career that I would enjoy today. But it didn't happen overnight. I taught school for 8 years. I call it mental high school for obvious reasons, because middle high schoolers are a unique breed. But it was my favorite group to teach. I love teaching middle school, and I'm friends with a lot of my students even today, although I've been retired for over 3 decades. But I love teaching, and I think teaching also gave me a wonderful foundation to plant my feet for ministry, because it taught me how to lead. It taught me patience. It taught me unconditional love. It taught me how to be light on my feet and to be ready for change at any moment. It taught me how to communicate. It taught me how to work with difficult people, because sometimes middle schoolers are a challenging age group. So teaching taught me a lot about people and about personal challenge and how to overcome personal challenge. And I'm still teaching today, as a matter of fact. Although I'm retired from the middle high school classroom, I teach as an adjunct at a few Christian colleges. I teach songwriting and entrepreneurship and music business at Lee University, which is in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I'm teaching songwriting at my alma mater at Spring Arbor. I graduated from Spring Arbor University, and I teach songwriting there now. And I also teach songwriting at LaGrange College, not too far from where I live here in West Georgia.
All right, let's go to 1985. You write the song All Rise, and it becomes the most recorded Christian song in the 90s. Here's a portion of All Rise.
Then I looked at those all around me with their hands uplifted high, and the Spirit laid his hands on me, and I uplifted mine. We were singing hallelujahs, praises to his name, and as I bowed to kneel the angels, I heard the Spirit.
The first big hit by Bebby Mason. Bebby, how did it come to be?
Well, by 1984, Jack, I began to see my concert calendar competing with my day job. You know, just kind of organically, my phone began to ring and people started asking me. Once we got settled here in Georgia, I got married in 1980 to my husband, Charles, and I was working on a day-by-day job. But this is what I know, Jack, is that The Bible says your gift will make room for you. And my gifts began to make room for me. My gifts just began to open up doors of opportunity for me. And my phone began to ring and somebody would say, can you sing for my wedding? Can you sing for our prayer breakfast? Can you sing for our women's Bible study? Can you come and sing at our church this Sunday morning? And I remember one day my husband came home, Jack, and there was this big church not far from the apartment complex where we used to live. And my husband said, we need to go over there tomorrow and talk with the pastor and see if we can't get you in there to sing. And so I had made an album when I was in college and I typed up my bio. And that next day, we went around the corner to this big church, Mount Perrin Church of God, which is in North Atlanta. And we went into the pastor's office there and spoke with the secretary. We wanted to see the pastor. She said, well, he's a very busy man. You'll have to make an appointment. He's not available for 3 months. And my husband said, well, we need to see someone today. Can we speak to the music minister? Well, he was busy. My husband said, well, can we speak to the youth pastor? Well, he was out to lunch. My husband said, can we see anybody today? She said, well, the singles pastor is available. He's across the parking lot in another building. He was very kind and cordial to see us. Well, it just so happened that my piano, we moved that summer, and my grand piano was still in Michigan, and I hadn't played the piano for a few days. It's an instrument that I play every day. It's a part of who I am. And I saw a piano in their outer room where their singles meet, And on the way out, I asked him, just for me, just to satisfy my need to play the piano and to sing, I asked him as he was on his way back into his office, if I could just sit down and play a song just for my own self-satisfaction. I did that. Well, he came out of his office and he said, "What are you doing tomorrow night?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Well, come back tomorrow night and sing for the singles." I did that. There was a guy there that Thursday night that ran a coffee house. He said, "What are you doing Saturday night?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Well, come over and sing at the coffee house Saturday night." I did that. Well, the pastor of the church where the coffee house was, he was there that Saturday night. He said, "What are you doing in the morning?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Well, come back tomorrow and sing for the worship service." And this just began to open up doors for me. Well, long story short, my concert calendar began to nudge me out of the classroom because it began to compete. And I just began to take that step of faith, and I quit my job as a school teacher in 1984. Well, that summer, I went to a songwriting competition that was held up in the Rocky Mountains. It was called the Christian Artist Music Seminar in the Rockies. And I entered one of my original songs in the songwriting competition, and Jack, they ripped me to shreds. It was like saying, "Babby, we love you, but your baby is ugly." I mean, they tore my song up one side and down the other. And it cost a lot of money to get out there. It took us 2 days to drive out there. We were on a low budget, and that was not what I expected to happen. I was very disappointed in the outcome. Well, I didn't go very far in the songwriting competition, and I was very disappointed. But I came back the next year, and after that summer of being able to study a little bit more about the art and the craft of songwriting, and my songwriting got a little better, and I wrote the song All Rise. And I went back the next year, and All Rise won the first place in the songwriting competition. And I won first place in the vocal competition. And it began to get the attention of industry level executives, record company executives, music publishers. And a couple of years later, I got a recording contract with Word Records, which was the largest record label at the time in Nashville. I wrote many songs while I was on that label, recorded 10 projects when I was on that label. And All Rise was just the beginning of a wonderful songwriting career. I'm still writing songs today. I've written songs for CeCe Winans, Larnell Harris, Ron Canole, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, many artists and names that people might recognize in Christian music circles. So, you know, this is just to let us know that we have gifts and talents on the inside of us that are lying dormant. And what we need to do is till that fertile soil and allow the Lord to bring the good stuff to the top. And even though I've been in my career now almost 36, 37 years, I still believe that my best song is yet to be written. I still believe my best song is yet to be sung. I'm still active, and I want to experience all that life has for me. I'm not looking at retirement. I say I'm not ready to retire. I'm ready to refire, and that's what I'm doing these days.
If you want to learn more, www.babbie.com. When we come back, we're going to ask Babby about the universal language, music. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Pasula. We're with Babby Mason. Babby, how do you explain the magic of music, the universal language?
That's a wonderful question, because how do you explain a miracle? How do you put a miracle into words? It's very difficult because you stand in awe when it comes to something that only God can do. I find it miraculous that out of a single major scale of 13 half steps, millions and millions of songs have been written from a major scale. And I'm one of those people that have the opportunity to write songs and to see those songs bless the hearts of a lot of people. And it still humbles me. I've written over 2,000 songs, And I get comments and emails and cards and conversations about how songs touch the hearts and the lives of people. And I even have my own favorite songs that have, you know, of other people that have touched my heart and have even changed my life. And so music is a miracle. I wrote a song called Trust His Heart. When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. It's probably one of the most popular songs that I've written. It's a song that I've even received photographs of people who have carved the words of the chorus of this song on their loved one's headstone. That just lets you know the impact and the power of a song and how it can encourage a person on their life's journey. I wrote this song, Trust His Heart. The words are inspired by a great preacher and pastor of the Christian faith, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And Spurgeon says this, he wrote these words, he spoke these words in one of his sermons. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And when you cannot trace his hand, trust his heart. Well, I was privileged to co-write this song with a good friend of mine, Eddie Carswell. And we wrote this song for a dear friend of ours who had lost his wife and their baby during childbirth. And it was such a devastating situation for our friend. And we wrote this song for him. And this song began to encourage him, and not only encourage him, but it began to encourage many, many, many thousands, maybe even millions of people. And it has even come back home to minister to me and encourage me at the loss of my parents and other members of our family. So there's something about a song. I think the beautiful thing about a song is because it's set to rhyme and it's set to time, we can bring it back to our remembrance anytime we want to. We can sing it over and over and over again. It's like revisiting a favorite meal. Anytime you want to, you can sing a song. It comes back to you. It encourages you. It lifts you up above your circumstances. And I think that's, as I said before, it's a miracle. That's something only God can create.
And here's a portion of Trust His Heart.
God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart.
Was Trust His Heart by Bebby Mason. Bebby, you've been blessed to perform in front of a lot of people, including three presidents. Really, if the truth be known, those three men, President Carter, President Ford, and President Bush, have been blessed to hear you sing and play. What's it like performing in front of presidents?
Oh, my goodness. Jack, It's a humble privilege. What I get to do, and I say that, not what I have to do, but what I get to do. God has blessed me to grace the stage and sing in some wonderful places. I've sung at many Billy Graham crusades, both domestically here in the United States and internationally across the world. And have been privileged to sing at the White House, privileged to sing in Billy Graham crusades, where I met President Carter. And years ago, I sang for a events that were for business people, where I met General Norman Schwarzkopf, where I met President Bush, where I met Barbara Bush, where I met President Ford. And it's just a humble privilege to be able to not only to sing to them, but to sing for them. Because this is what I know, Jack. Presidents are people too. The weight of the world is upon their shoulder. And so to be able to sing something that might encourage them, might inspire them, might stir up their heart, might calm their fears, might remind them that God loves them. And I think that's one of the things that, one of the positions that where God has placed me. I am an encourager at heart. And I love to lift, I love to sing songs that lift up people above their circumstances. So it was very humble and a privilege to be able to sing for President Carter, President Ford, and President Bush. And, you know, as I said before, I'm still traveling and singing, so who knows what the future holds. But here's the thing, Jack, is, as I said a moment ago, presidents are people too. So it doesn't matter if I'm singing for the president or if I'm singing for my neighbor. To be able to sing a song that lifts people up above their circumstances is a real humble privilege. I remember one day I was in the checkout line of our local grocery store, and there was some music playing on the intercom there, you know, and I think it was Neil Diamond singing Sweet Caroline. And I promise you, I wasn't singing very loud. I wasn't making a big deal of it. I'm just waiting to be checked out, you know, and I'm just kind of humming, just in my own little space, humming along with Neil, you know, Neil and me just having a moment. And the guy in front of me turned around and he said, "Wow, that sounds pretty good. You should sing for a living." I said, "Well, I do. I do sing for a living." Well, right there in the checkout line of the grocery store, he said, "Well, sing something for me right now." Well, that was like saying sick him to a bulldog, as they say. I eased my cart up a little closer to him and just began to sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Well, the next thing I know, Jack, the music on the intercom turned down, and the manager of the grocery store came out of that little cubby in his office there in the front part of the grocery store. He came down to the lane where I was, right at the foot of that checkout lane. He lifted his hands and began to worship. People began to gather around, and when I realized that I had an audience, I turned it on like I was singing on the stage at Carnegie Hall, and I just began to sing to the crowd of people there in the grocery store. Well, when I was done, there were some amens. You know, we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt here in Georgia. There were some amens and some applause as people went their way. And it just showed me that the power of a song, the power of encouraging words gives us something that every person needs, and that is hope. And so I'm a hope bearer. And a hope dealer. And I just want to encourage people on their daily journey here in life.
Talking to Babby Mason. When we come back, we can ask her about how she got into book writing. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
But if I don't have love, does it profit me? I could understand all mystery. But if I don't have love, it's not enough.
I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're with Babby Mason. That was Babby performing Love Is a More Excellent Way. Bebby, you've also written 9 books. How did you ever start writing books?
You know, Jacqueline, I got started in ministry back in the early 80s. It was my dream to record a record and sing on stage, and that was my big dream. Little did I know that singing would lead to songwriting. I told you about that competition that I went to back in the 80s in Estes Park, Colorado, where All Rise won first place. They also had some breakout sessions where they taught songwriting, and the lights began to come on. And next thing I know, I was writing songs, and I didn't even know that I had the potential or the ability, but that opportunity came to me. I seized that opportunity. I love writing. I'm an avid reader, and I love words, and I began to write songs. Songwriting began to allow me to write for other singers. And writing began to be a practice for me, and I began to contribute to other people's books and other people's Bible studies, and even a couple of Bible commentaries and women's Bible editions and things like that. Well, I'll say this again. The Bible says your gift makes room for you. And, you know, my life's journey has not been one of huge leaps and bounds, but just of consistently putting one foot in front of the other, not being afraid to explore or try something new or learn something new. Well, one day, as they say, quote, out of the blue, I got this phone call from a young guy from Nashville, and he worked for a major publishing company there in Nashville at Abingdon Press. And he said to me, Miss Mason, your name came up in a meeting this morning. And we are starting a new line of books called Christians Living Life, and we'd like you to write a book for us. And I loved the opportunity of writing books. I'd been writing articles and contributing to other books prior to that, and I'd written a couple of smaller books, but this was my first like major publishing opportunity. And you know, I could have said no because it's a huge assignment, but I said yes, and I knew the Lord would help me to figure it out. I said yes, and that opportunity was a major learning experience. It has been a wonderful opportunity to speak. That led to public speaking and teaching women in women's conferences and Bible studies and doing Bible study videos, and there are a lot of those videos online and on YouTube. And so, you know, that has been the song and the theme of my life, and that is one thing always leads to another, and that when you say yes to faith, you say yes to opportunity, you say yes to opening doors, you say yes to learning something new, you say yes to meeting new people, yes to making an impact, and yes to maybe even encouraging someone in their deepest, darkest hour. And that's what these opportunities have allowed me to be. They have allowed me to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. I am I'm blessed to be able to impact people. I get lots of cards and letters and emails from people who tell me that a song that I've written or a book that I've written or a blog that I've written has given them a great source of encouragement. And I shudder when I think, what if I'd said no? What if I said, well, you know, I'm not qualified or I'm not equipped or I'm a little intimidated at that opportunity. But in my daddy's church, we used to sing this song. The choir used to process down the aisle as they rocked back and forth, and they sang this gospel song as they processed into the sanctuary. They used to sing this song called, "We've Come This Far by Faith, Leaning on the Lord." And that's my theme song. I've come this far by faith. And faith means you don't see all the details, but you still take a step. You don't know all the answers, but you keep moving forward. And that has been the thing that has led me to where I am today. And like I said before, I still believe my best song is to be sung. My best book has yet to be written. My best concert performance has yet to be staged. And I'm looking forward to what God has for me in the future.
We're talking to Babbie Mason. If you want to learn more, www.babbie.com. Her latest book is entitled Fully Qualified, Maximizing Your God-Given Potential. We've got about a minute left. Tell us, if you will, about the online radio station.
Oh, thank you for asking me about that, Jack. You know, people used to come, they still do, asking me to help them, singers, songwriters, authors. We live in a day and age now where the internet has opened up a world of opportunity where you can launch your own book, you can write your own book, you can launch your own blog, you can launch an online business, and people have come to me for mentorship and for counsel and advice. And my husband and I do workshops for singers and songwriters and authors. And I wanted to create a place online where we could celebrate our music, where I could celebrate my songs, I could celebrate my work and my stories and my encouraging words. And of course, also to make an impact on a global level. And so 8 years ago, we launched Babbie Mason Radio. All you have to do is go to my website at babbie.com. There's a listen live button there. Click that listen live button and you're listening to beautiful music and encouraging words. And I just wanted to make an impact on a global level. I wanted to encourage the world with the message of the gospel and beautiful music, and to tell my stories and do what I can to make God look good. So the station is 8 years old and it's making a huge impact. I never in a million years thought that my music would be played in places where I never would visit. And it's been great.
Babbie Mason, you are a Christian Music Hall of Famer, but also you're a Hall of Famer of hope. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work.
I like that, Jack. Thank you so very much, my friend. Bless you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Brasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.